It is the Parkscope Immersive Irony Podcast again. Coming back to you with Alex from Parts Unknown. Alex, how you doing, man?
Good. I'm back.
You're back again. We've got more trip reports.
Yeah. I think we alluded to it in the last one. So,
yes.
Yeah.
So I guess, I don't know briefly if we want to discuss any slight news items. This will come out probably who knows when. But I doubt there's going to be any real changes in terms of news. Well, there will be, because Cedar Point's going to be announcing everything next week. So I take that back. One thing I guess we could discuss is the KMG bulletins and everything that's come out of the Ohio State accident.
Yeah. Do you want to go ahead and read about it?
Yeah, sort of the brief synopsis for everyone at this point has already heard that Ohio State or the Ohio State Fair had a very significant catastrophic accident with a KMG fireball. There was at least one rider was killed. There's one still in a coma. There's one in critical condition, one still in serious condition at the time of recording this, which is well over a week, almost 2 weeks later, actually. A lot of people were trying to think of what it could be that occurred, but it seems to have essentially been determined at this point that there was corrosion that took place inside of the arm that connected the gondola to the big arm, basically that swung the pendulum ride, and that caused the that space to fail and the car decoupled. It was something that when I did the piece on parkscope.net about the Ohio State Fair accident, I talked with my buddy Mike, who's a big flat ride fan, and you know, he had actually been the first person to point out that I know of the difference between the two gondola setups between the old KMG fireballs and the newer ones. And as soon as he pointed that out and that it was the same point of failure, then we both kind of were like, okay, this seems like an obvious place where something happened. Whether or not KMG knew when they made the change or if it was simply a change that they made that made it easier to do inspections of the ride, I don't know, but they've basically told those operators, I think, to do sandblasting on all of them and do some non-destructive testing, and I think they're allowed to operate until December 31, but I can't, I'm not looking at the actual item that went out recently, so... What do you think, from the perspective of the amusement industry, especially the ride manufacturers, how they're going to be, will they approach anything differently now as a result of what happened in this incident?
Oh, totally. I mean, something like this happens and you got to take a look at everything at this point. I mean, there's so many hidden ghosts that could be in these rides now that we haven't realized. But I mean, as I said last week, you know, it's a shame of what happened and it shouldn't have happened. But at the same time, something like this, it's a good way to learn how to make rides safer.
My first thought, I mean, there's two kind of obvious ride failures that I thought of when I thought of what happened with the fireball. And the first was when the Huss Rainbow went down in Leesburg about 10 years ago now. And that basically was the end of the Huss Rainbow. You know, the vast majority of them ended up getting eliminated after that. When it collapsed. No one was killed in that accident. But more specific to this whole sort of idea that this was not an area that had ever been intended to be reviewed or inspected, the interior portion of this arm, and the fact that that was what failed reminded me more so of like the Mindbender accident back in the 1980s when it was determined that there was a wheel assembly that basically they were all just falling apart, and they were falling apart at an area where it was impossible to look at them visually and inspect them on a daily basis without essentially removing the train from the track and looking at the wheel assembly then. So, you know, I hope that for everybody that's involved in the ride industry, not just, you know, the big manufacturers that everybody's heard of, but, you know, even, you know, up to the guys like at Disney level, that they're looking at this and saying like, okay, you know, I don't want to see everybody in the industry just say, well, it was a carnival, so it can't happen to us.
No, that's ridiculous. I mean, I've always thought in the way that, you know, I feel like carnivals, they get the most press for these accidents because everyone's perspective of them is that they're accident prone. But at the same time, in a way, these rides can be inspected way easier than permanent rides because they have to come down every week.
Right, exactly. You know, yeah. They constantly fold up on a trailer and they move every week and they're put back up.
That's yeah, not- I mean, there aren't parts of the ride that are 100 feet in the air that have to be, you know, you have to use a cherry picker or a crane to get to. They're all down within 10, 15 feet. So, yeah, I mean, it is unfortunate. When I saw a photo of just the gondola detached and I saw the inside of it, I'm like, yeah, that's internal. That's internal rusting. That's internal corrosion. That there's your problem. Yeah. But I think it's also a way for manufacturers to look at different ways to, yeah, as you said, design their ride so everything can be easily inspected. So,
yeah, and I guess that kind of gets back to the thing about the carnival. Like, we tend to think about the industry, the theme park industry, as being somewhat self-regulating, and that it's bad that an accident happens, and then, you know, it hurts obviously their capability to make money. You know, I can't imagine that Amusements of America made a whole lot of money with the fair being shut down for multiple days.
God, no. No way.
And,
I mean,
and the attendance just cratering at Ohio State Fair. I mean, there's just no way.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see those numbers. I mean, I guess some people don't realize that. Like, I don't know state by state, but I know the state of Pennsylvania, everything has to be inspected by the same inspectors that do the permanent parks every time something's set up.
I think it's Ohio. They do inspections, but...
It varies so much across this country, state to state, where carnivals and amusement parks as their own. Some have little, and then some have some of the strictest rules out there. So,
yeah, I mean, there's some states, I want to say Montana is one of them. The Dakotas are also a couple of them where they have no regulation whatsoever. Essentially, if you have the money to put up a ride, it doesn't matter. It's great. You know, in this case, you know, obviously it was inspected. Everybody knows that. But again, it's not like, I don't think any inspector would have known to look in that area or could have. You would have had to drop a camera in from somewhere. I don't know where you even have a...
I don't know the ride detailed enough. I mean, the only ride that I have probably better familiarization is the Chance Revolution. So even then, I can't picture where you would be able to drop a camera in. And I don't think there was any access to see the inside of it. So,
yeah, no, I just think it's definitely a horrible tragedy. And like I said, I really hope that everybody learns from it and rethinks a lot about their design as a result. Aside from that, you know, we've had a couple things. Six Flags has had a couple things that have leaked out.
Oh, yeah. And I don't think either of us realized that was going to be an announcement. Did you?
No.
I thought it was just another teaser.
And then, sure enough, we end up with a coaster from Six Flags.
At Fiesta Texas, my favorite Six Flags park, as the park goes. Yeah. Maybe not ride-wise, but it's such a beautiful park.
Yeah, it's a wonderful park. Yeah. We've talked about this privately on Twitter, and we have probably a semi-unpopular opinion about this.
Yeah, so we'll be gentle on this.
Yeah. So I don't think the layout is bad.
We should probably tell everyone what we're talking about first. Yeah, we tend to talk as like enthusiasts that know everything.
Yeah, we're talking about the Wonder Woman Lasso of Truth ride.
The Golden Lasso Golden coaster. Lasso of
Truth. Yeah, and you know, the regular Park School Boys discussed this last week when they ended up not getting to talk about Halloween Horror Nights.
Oh, okay. I didn't listen to that episode yet.
That's okay.
That's fine. I don't want to repeat their opinions anyways. So.
Right. Yeah, we're not going to, so it works out. as far as what is going to be, what that ride, you know, consists of, it's a sit-down multi-loop coaster. It uses a new track technology that was developed by the folks over at Rocky Mountain Coasters, in which they have a single rail rather than sort of the two rails that are more commonly seen for steel coaster track with a spine. So it's just one piece of steel. It has fewer supports, so it's theoretically cheaper to put up. And also in materials cost. You know what? There's nothing. We know what the ride height is. I think it's 110 feet. Did they say anything about the ride length?
I am on the database right now, and it is 800 feet long.
Okay. You know, it's a decent looking layout. Obviously it's a bit of a prototype, not necessarily a bad thing. That's a prototype, or first of its kind.
No. Actually, I didn't mention this on my trip report, but you know, I was in the area of Rocky Mountain on my trip.
In Idaho.
Yeah. On my way home, it was about, I don't know, about 2 minutes off my route. So
did you think of stopping by to look at the track?
I took a look at the track. Yeah. Yeah. It was interesting to look at it. And I also noticed one thing right away. That track section looks very similar to one part of this ride.
is that, I'm taking a look, is that the
little S-turn that they get going on, and then the drop-off, and then the, like, I don't know what they're called. I guess Roll Coach Database is calling it a cutback, which reminds me of, that's what they called Dragonfire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which excites me because I love that element on that coaster. That was cool. So that's cool to see that come back.
It's a decent looking layout. But
I just don't think it's anything. I think it looks great. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if I'll get there next year. Probably won't. I was in Texas in 2015. So I'm kind of waiting for more stuff to be built up in that area before I decide to make another trip there. But, I think it looks fun, but I don't think it looks insane like some of their other designs.
I think it, you know what, I think, and this is the issue that I have with every discussion that's been about it, is like, everybody is like, yes, I think it's good, but there's always the but. It's kind of like when we had the discussion about Storm Chaser at Kentucky Kingdom.
Sure.
And every single person that I know that's been on it has the same reaction. They're like, oh, you know, I really like it, but there's the whole part that it hurts a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And then everyone's like, have you voiced the opinion that it hurts a lot? And everyone's like, well, I mean, kind of, but not really. You know, but I like it, but, you know, the airtime's kind of severe. And then, like, it's one thing that, like, one person says that. You know, the fact that, like, for instance, every person I know that's been to Kentucky Kingdom this year has said the exact same thing about Storm Chaser.
Sure.
And yet nobody, it's not like a public meme. It's not like how, you know, Grizzly at PGA is terrible and also Storm Chaser hurts. I guess where I'm going with that on Wonder Woman, Golden Lasso of Truth, which we're just going to call it Wonder Woman. Let's be real.
Yeah, let's go with that.
The ride, it looks okay. It does some, for the most part, does like somewhat standard steel coaster things.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really, to me, it doesn't look anything more than a Gerschwaller. Or, I mean, it feels like it's in that category of a Gerschwaller or a SNS El Loco. You know, it feels like that. It looks like that type of ride.
And it's that same length, too. It's 1,800 feet long. I mean, it's not like it's a really long ride. It's going to be, God, with a 110-foot drop, I mean, what? Like, from the time it drops off the chain to the time it breaks, maybe 35 seconds?
Yeah, we have the 8-car trains that are single seat, so only 8 passengers per train, and then you have 3 trains. So I don't think capacity will be terrible for that park. I really hope they don't put one of these at Great Adventure. I hope they go for the larger model if they put one at Great Adventure.
And honestly, I know that there's a lot of people that are expecting the same exact model to end up at California's Great America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's the same height variance that they received, 110 feet.
Oh, yeah, true. People were thinking it was the Boomerang, but the Boomerang's a little bit taller than that, I believe.
Yeah, those are usually in the 130s, I think.
I think it's like 117, I don't know, I forget.
Yeah, I know that there's the one that's cut off in Maryland.
But you don't even feel the difference, by the way.
No, you don't.
I couldn't even see the difference, and I wrote it earlier this year. I was like, I don't see it. I've heard of that wise tale that it was over a public street, so it had to be cut off, but whatever. Anyways, yeah, no, I think it looks great.
Maryland Boomerang, for those wondering. Yeah, it's there. It exists. I don't think it looks, like I said, I don't think it looks bad, but it doesn't look so spectacular that it makes me want to go out and ride it. Like, I just anticipate, like, they'll build 50 of these, and I'll end up being in the general, you know, geographic location of probably 5 of them.
I understand why Six Flags would replicate them. I mean, they're a regional chain. There's no reason why they can't. And it's been working for them. I mean, this company was not doing so good 10 years ago. And for the first time in a very long time, this company, I mean, they kept just, I mean, it seemed like every 10 years ago that they were doing great, but because another company bought them and said they erased the debt, but in the way, no, they erased the debt of the previous owner. They took on all the regular debt. It was kind of they were kind of hiding the fact that, no, they were still taking on debt. And yeah, tons companies, of it. I mean,
that's what the company is looking for.
I mean, I went to a coaster event at Great Adventure, and they told us flat out, we didn't make money. This park did not turn a profit from 1974 to 2011.
Oh, that is hideous.
Can you believe that?
You know, I honestly can't, but
that's what they said to us.
At the same time, it makes sense because, you know, they never went
$30 million additions 3 years in a row. I mean, come on, how are you going to make that back?
No, you're not going to. And, yeah. And they had no chance to do so. I'm just thinking, like, the thing is about a lot of the parks that ended up being built in the 70s is that the companies that owned them went bankrupt. And so, yeah. And so they ended up being sold at a song. You know, I think like Carowinds was basically in that zone. Or if it didn't go bankrupt, they sold it for much less than whatever it cost initially. Worlds of Fun, I think, was in the same area in terms of happening like that. And I'm sure Great Adventure was too, but...
Yeah, it was sold after 2 years, I believe.
Yeah, but just the fact that they never made money for the first almost 40 years of operation is astonishing.
Yep.
Wow. You know, and you know, this is funny. This is funny because how often do people sit there and say, oh, that park never made money, so they deserve to go out of business? Like, by you know, like, oh, that park's terrible. Like, that park, you know, parks that are struggling and barely making it. Like, Conneaut Lake. Like, oh, just put Conneaut Lake out of its misery. Like, who cares?
I kind of feel that way, to be honest with you.
But Conneaut Lake... If you have it go through bankruptcy and they restructure their debt, they might actually be able to make a profit, which Six Flags Great Adventure with, you know, 14, 15 roller coasters and Houdini.
Oh, God, no. No.
Never made a dime. That's amazing.
King to Ka, its operating costs are probably more to Conneaut Lakes Park operating costs, you know, combined.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I find it remarkably hilarious. That is great. It's not great, but it's just.
Well, at least they're making money now, so yeah, all is good.
If you just look at, like, yeah, nobody should ever sit there and say, like, oh, that park is struggling. You know, that's bad business. Only you know, bad operators struggle and don't make money. Well, then I guess Great Adventure was always badly operated until 5 years ago.
Oh. But- So the point that matter is that their clone that I, as a coaster enthusiast who travels the United States, that kind of sucks. But at the same time, if it works for them, then go ahead. The only disappointment about this ride particularly is they took out a ride that used the cliffside, and now they're putting this ride right next to the cliffside and not utilizing it in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
That's my biggest disappointment about this ride. It's literally right next to an 80-foot cliff?
Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
The whole park is set in an old quarry. So for those who've never seen Fiesta Texas, like when you drive up to it, you basically drive around the rim of this, you know, huge crater that they've put this amusement park into.
Yeah, it's genius to put a park there.
It's a great looking park. I mean, the stuff that was built when it was initially constructed with the Opryland people, like the area around, and I always loved the Hustler there.
Yeah.
The Hustler, everything about the Hustler is good. The Hustler is like, it's basically kind of like a breakdance sort of flat.
No, it's more like a teacup ride, really. Yeah, Morgan, yeah, it was manufactured by D.H. Morgan,
yep.
I believe. Yep.
I think that's right, yeah. And the whole, the ride vehicles are shaped like cue balls. Or yep. Not cue balls, but pool balls. And then the ride, I guess, platform is shaped and also colored in as though it was a pool table. And then even the railings themselves basically have the triangle from a pool table with the balls in wrought iron, like set as a design throughout the railing. which is just like, it's such like a thing that you do if you have tons of money and you're looking to waste on a theme park, especially back then, and like make it look nice, which they never do anymore. They would just get plain, you know, stainless steel railing. And it has a lot of little things like that. It has the train that goes through the rock wall. They have a projection show on the side of the rock wall. It's always been known as having the best shows in the Six Flags chain.
Did that park ever have any financial issues? I don't believe it did.
I don't think it did either.
It was operated by Gaylord Entertainment. Yeah. Not owned by them, but operated by them. Yeah. So I think
the plan was just that, you know, basically they built it and Six Flags made the offer to take it over.
Okay.
And they were like, okay, sure. I mean, if you're going to hand us a ton of money, we can do that.
And as you could foresee, they were trying to get out. They would get out of the amusement park industry altogether with, unfortunately, closing Opryland a few years later.
Did you ever, by the way, just as a quick aside, did you ever read anything about the closing of Opryland and like?
Oh yeah, I was there. My sister went to Vanderbilt, so I got to go there twice.
Did you ever? No, but did you ever read any of like? I want to say it was like the Tennessean Star Ledger or something like that, whatever the local paper is in Nashville.
Yeah, they said they never did a real assessment of the park. They got their mindset on building a mall and that was it.
Yeah, it was speaking of Great Adventure never made money and Opryland did. And Opryland is no longer here because of and the mall, by the way, has like 50% vacancy.
Is it that bad? Oh, yeah. Dear God.
Yeah, it's a complete
disaster. Well, it also went through a major flood that closed it for over a year.
Yeah.
Which was, I can't believe they didn't take that how did they not take that into consideration when they designed that mall, considering that park flooded on a few occasions?
Probably because they were looking at the tax breaks that they could get on the federal level from building a huge retail establishment and didn't care. That's the only thing I got.
Oh, Jesus Christ, it's 50%. That's approaching a dead mall. Dear God.
Yeah, it's not in good shape. The whole company's a mess. They were going to have that water park with Dolly Parton, and then that never happened.
But I mean, at the same time, with Opryland closing, that allowed Dollywood to flourish.
Yes, it did.
Anyways, we should get on to
sold their hotels. That's right. They sold those to Marriott. So now they only have like the Showboat. And
they sold the hotel too.
Yeah, the hotels are now Marriott.
Oh, I had no idea. Yeah, wow.
They've got left.
Beautiful hotel. The Opryland Hotel is beautiful. Oh, that's my God! Amazing. They have these huge atriums that are like, they're huge. They're like acres and acres large. It's like a whole like tropical setting in there, like a rainforest practically. And they have a boat ride in there, and everything. Too. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so the only thing they have left is this mall that has high vacancy. They have the Grand Ole Opry, which I guess it's been on the market forever, and the paddle boat.
That will never close because of its roots in country music.
Yeah. There'll be some interest in it, but yeah, they're a complete financial mess. They totally screwed themselves.
Anyways, tangent ended. It looks fun. The Wonder Woman, it just, you know, I feel like a lot of people are just so deep in that RMC hype that they're a little blinded.
For me, there's a lot more excitement that I think than, you know, a 110-foot, three inversion, 1,800-foot long coaster merits. It's just not at that level. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, everyone on the internet. It'll probably be really good, but come on. Come on, let's be real.
All right, on to my trip because I gotta wrap this up in an hour. Yeah. So I actually have to be not ramble too much this time, which is a good thing actually. All right, so I had a crazy trip. Buddy from Chattanooga came up. He wanted to credit whore the hell out of the Jersey Shore, and we did. The first day he went to he landed on Thursday around noon and headed up to Camden Park for the Hellcat, and he enjoyed the Hellcat, and that was pretty much it.
Wait. You mean Clementon, not Camden?
Did I say Oh God, I did that with him too. I meant Camden. Yes, quick, Clementon Park.
Yes.
Sorry, Clementon in Clementon, New Jersey. Hyde talked about it on the little podcast you did on In Loop, not to plug them, but sorry.
That's fine. They seem like decent people. I don't know anything about them, but they seem cool. So big ups to that.
Yeah. Anyways, he mentioned how he thought it'd be a great ride without the trims. And I rode it first year, and it was insane without the trim brakes. It was insane airtime, ejector airtime on most of the hills. Now it has good airtime, but not like it was before. And there's a lot of problems with the track. The park is aware of it, and they're fixing it as their budget allows them. So. Fair. They had a lot of problems with just the track rotting, the middle layers rotting and stuff like that. So,
But, you know, I mean, who owns it now? Does Premier Parks own it now?
Yes.
Okay. Because I know whoever owned it before Premier was probably middling at best in terms of overall maintenance. And I'm sure that's probably a chunk of the issue.
It was a family-run park. I forgot their names. They owned the park for many, many years, and they're the ones that were kind of instrumental of replacing all the rides and getting more modern rides, which some, pros and cons to that, I guess, right?
Yeah, they closed the oldest then, or it was the second oldest operating wooden roller coaster in the U.S.
Well, they had issues with it. They lost a lot, from what I understand, they lost a lot of their grandfathering when they were down for a year.
Oh,
and I think one of the major issues, they would have had to replace the entire track with one that actually had upstops.
Yeah, that would be a problem.
So it really wasn't worth their investment to do that.
You can respect that. Okay. So anyways, Clementon, he did that. We'll move on to Clementon to other
stuff. Then he did quick stop at the Fun Spot, Funplex.
Yeah. In
Mount Laurel. I stopped there for about 15 minutes about 3 years ago, and he stopped there for about 10 minutes. he actually took a bigger look about it. It actually has an indoor amusement park section I had no idea existed. They have bowling alley, I think maybe movie theater. I don't even know. They have an outdoor water park that they've expanded since I was last there. They actually have water slides now. And then they have the Fun Coaster, which is a SPF Vista full-size spinning coaster with individual cars. Think of a Crazy Mouse from Zamperla / Revachon, but it doesn't spin very well. So his opinions of it pretty much mirrored mine, was one and done. So, but it's $5. It's in Mount Laurel. If you're going to Great Adventure, it's not that far off your way if you're coming from Pennsylvania.
And it's kind of unique. It's a semi-unique item. There's not a whole lot of SPF. I don't think there is another SPF Visa full-size adult spinning coaster in the country.
Possibly. Not that I know of.
So, then you can go check off that on your bucket list of things. I'm sure you've always wanted to ride the Italian knockoff of the Italian copy of the French spinning coaster.
Yeah. And then I met him up at Dorney Park, my stomping grounds. I got there and we rode Thunderhawk 3 times, gave 3 excellent rides.
How were the new trains on Thunderhawk?
Oh, they're just lovely. It's just to have no high seat backs. When I first rode it last year on the first ride, the first thing was like, this feels like an entire new view, just not having that seat back behind you. And having upholstered seats on the backrest, because, Mean Streak, that was one of the biggest problems with those foam injections. The foam injected seat backs is it transfers all the vibrations to your back. Whereas the upholstered, foam seat backs,
it absorbs a little bit.
Yeah, it absorbs a lot. So, yeah, it's they're doing a lot of work on it. They smoothed out. This third drop was very, very rough last year, so they smoothed that out. And, they're continuing to put love and care into it. I'll always love it because it was my first wood coaster, so I'm probably always going to be biased.
I'm going to assume that they have – the last time I rode it, which was like – probably 3-4 years ago now, mm-hmm. And I know it was probably done well before that. The trims that they've added prior to when you start going through these huge turnarounds where it used to be just chock full of airtime, I'm assuming those are still on.
The one on the top of the third hill, which would be like the second big hill, it grabs it a little bit. You still get great airtime on that fourth hill though, a ridiculous airtime, especially in the, as we in coaster enthusiasts call the schmeck seat, the
1-3.
Yeah, 1-3. And it depends. I'm pretty sure if it's running two trains, that the trim on the final run back is a lot harder typically, I find. But if it's only running one train, because it doesn't have to stop the train so fast on the brake run, that trim is typically not on as hard. And so you still get pretty good air time on the return run.
I would love, probably as much as anybody, if they were like, we're doing an event at Dorney, you know, was it Coaster Madness or something like that? Used to be the annual event there.
Yeah, they still have it. It's the day after Phoenix Fall Fun Fest, actually. Yeah.
If they did that event and they were like, we're turning the trim brake off.
Oh, dear God, it'd be insane.
people's opinion, like that ride would go from afterthought to like top 15 ride.
Yeah.
The run back, you can tell if the trims weren't there, it's just like airtime hills. And you're like, if you weren't on, this would be so good right now.
Yeah. But, you know, the main problem was that ride is? The problem is they moved the station back in the 90s. They moved the station back before the transfer track, before that, it was after the transfer track. So you lost a lot of your brake run. So now that's the main reason for that trim brake, is to not have so much speed coming into the brake run and not risk an overshoot.
Couldn't they correct that by getting like mag brakes or something like that?
They could, but you know, money.
That's money, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, other rides at Dorney Park, aside from
London. That's about all we did in the amusement park. We went over to the water park for a few hours. All
right.
And then as we were about to do the Aqua Blast, which was like the only thing I wanted to do, because I'm always typically there by myself, and that's the one ride I don't ride because you can't ride with alone. We're just about to ride it, and then the lightning comes.
Oh. Is that the rock plume that you're talking about?
No, that's the family raft ride.
Okay.
In Wild Water Kingdom.
Okay.
So we saw the circus Imagine, which is basically, you know, like a circus show, and it's fantastic. I've seen it 4 times this year. It is absolutely fantastic. If anyone has some extra time, which you should, because that place is always not very crowded, you should definitely see it. It runs it runs until like the 24th, so you probably don't have much time once you listen to this.
Yes. But then you'll regret it, because by the time you've heard it, it'll probably be over.
I think it will probably, they kept the last show for 2 years, so I think it won't be going anywhere. And it's going all around the Cedar Fair. I mean, as Cedar Fair does, they rotate their shows around different parks. So I believe it's at Carowinds as well, but my buddy saw the Carowinds earlier this year, and he said only two of the segments were identical. The rest of it was different.
I know that they also have, there's another version in Canada too, at Canada's.
Well, that, I saw it at Canada's Wonderland in 2013. So
yeah, I saw it back. They've changed the show since then. It's a different show now, I guess, versus what I saw same year.
Yeah, I think I remember seeing some elements that were the same, but a lot of it was different, definitely. So, and if you do see the show at Dorney, I definitely suggest do a front row seat or close to there, as because you really get into this show, because especially one segment where there's a lady on a rope just swinging right above you and doing all this crazy acrobatic stuff. It's awesome. Anyways, after that, we got out and we checked the weather report, and it was just like isolated storm cell after set. Like just one rolling in, one rolling out. So close together that it never allowed them enough time to open anything up. So the only thing we were able to do after that was the whip, which was a crazy rip ride, because in the middle of the whip ride, or just before it started, the downpour of one of these storm cells came in, and it was coming in so fast that it was actually overflowing into the whip ride, into the building, onto the steel plates. So in the middle of this ride, the whip kind of became a water ride halfway through the ride.
I have a quick question for you, because obviously you go to Dorney.
Yeah.
Mount. They got bumper cars again this year after,
yes, they did.
After many years of not having them, when they removed the crazy cars, RIP Correct. Crazy cars. How are the bumper cars? Are they just kind of there?
They're your standard fare. I mean, the problem is they're always going to get compared to, you know who, Knoebels.
Yeah. And it's not going to be a fair comparison, because
no, It's a very, they have like 18 cars and it's a very small building. It's only a square. It's not even a rectangle. It's a square. It's with a round, a small round island in the middle. So it's
surprisingly low count for, well, I guess they don't have a lot of people in the dry park usually. So
it usually gets every cycle. I mean, if you don't, I mean, it's funny because it's just like this empty bumper car that's being bumped around. Because they don't even have room to put it to the side. That's how small this arena is.
Huh.
That's the room, you know, they had the old hang time that the Hoos top spin, and that's the area they had to work with. So it goes all the way to the edge. It goes within like inches of the train track, basically.
It's almost like they should just bought like a Majestic Scooters, but who am I? I don't know.
They're the Italian company. I don't know how to pronounce it. Bertrazzon?
Bertrazzon or whatever it is?
Yeah, okay. We're both probably completely killing it. But
yeah, sorry, Italy. We apologize. All right, so Dorney, did you guys go to Great Adventure? I can't remember.
Yeah, next morning we started at Great Adventure. They had early ERT for – it was a season pass appreciation weekend this weekend. I don't know why this weekend it was, but it was. And we got two quick rides during ERT on Battle for Metropolis, which is fantastic. The SNS – or no, I'm sorry, SNS – the South, that would be a trip, right? SNS getting into dark rides.
I don't know if I want that after after some of the things that have happened with them recently, but I like them. I like those rides a lot. I think they're great.
Yeah, Sally Dark Ride, Oceaneering has a part of it. I think a few other companies. Fantastic rides. I mean, it's like a modern FPS like video game with dark ride mixed in with targets that are extremely accurate. That's what I love about it. And you can always tell where you're shooting, which is fantastic, really. Our second ride, we had the first breakdown I've ever had on one of those. And we were stopped for like 10 minutes, which kind of sucked during ERT. But and the funny thing is, everything restarted, but the hydraulics and the spinning mechanism on the car. So all the scenes kept going on. But like you're just going through the course with the car pointed forward.
I got stuck when my wife and I went to Great America a few weeks ago. We ended up basically like they must have been low in loading somebody, so we got stuck at the end point, like that screen where you see, you know, the Joker's like all tied up or whatever.
Sure.
And like we got to the end of that cycle of the video and then just froze.
Yeah, I've had that before, but yeah, and imagine
then, like,
that.
Then it just like split in half and then we just stared at it for a while. It was a little weird, but
Yeah. It was interesting, though, how like they just restarted the ride and then everything worked. And as soon as we got back to the station, we could feel all the hydraulics come back to life. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you guys hit when you were there? Or just
Five rides on Nitro. Wait, no, four? I don't know. A lot on Nitro. In a row, so that was cool.
Is it still a situation where everyone kind of hooks left when they enter the park, and so if you go right towards Nitro, nobody's there? Or
this is ERT still.
Oh, okay.
The season pass ERT from 9:30 to 10:30. Yeah, so we did that until it was over, and then he went over and got his. Well, I rode with him, but he got his Roadrunner Express credit.
Always important. Was it Sam Perla? I think right.
Yeah. He missed it at Dorney. Wasn't able to fit like anywhere near it on the Howler, but he lost some weight. So now he's able to ride all these things. I'm like, it's not that fortunate to be allowed to, you can now ride these. It's probably a bad thing.
Yeah, no, they're not particularly good attractions, but.
But Zamperla has finally fixed it. The new models that are at Dollywood and Owa are all smoothed out and they don't kill you. Yeah, or try to kill your back, at least.
Well, that's good. That's good. It's nice for them to finally do that.
Yeah, after like 20 years.
What else? Anything else over at that park?
No, we were on a schedules. We did Joker, so we could get the credit. He could get the credit.
Of course,
which they removed all the fins at the top after the. So they removed one, like, I think there's three sets before, and they removed the middle one that is on the humps at the top, which kind of sucks. So they've been touring with all those fins for the spinning mechanism on the SNS free spin, you know, throughout the last year and a half anyways. So next week they'll probably be back on. And then we went over and got three rods in El Toro, which he almost quit after two, because we were in a wheel seat. And I mean, it's progressively getting rougher and rougher on the wheel seats. If you sit in a middle row of a car, it's perfectly fine, but you feel every single track segment a connection. Mainly because I think those are big steel plates, and then the wooden track is probably compressed over the years. So every time it hits one of those steel plates, you can feel the little bump up. So,
you know, it's interesting because I've heard, you know, mixed things. There's a lot of people that are like, no, nothing's any different about El Toro now versus any other time. Mm. Actually, there's Bannister who said last year, he was one of the first people that was like, no, this ride is getting rough.
And it's not painful, but it's very distracting. I mean, I can see someone giving someone a headache, though. Definitely.
I just wonder, like, where it goes from where it's at right now to the point where it ends up being like Colossus at Haida Park, and they're just
not that many years away. I don't think. I mean, that was built 2 years prior, I think.
Yeah,
or maybe a little bit more than that. Wasn't that like 2002?
Colossus, I think, was might have been 2001. I feel like it was built the year before I got on it. I feel like I could possibly have been there opening year, but maybe I was. I'll look it up in a second, but you continue.
And then we got the smoothest ride on King of the Ka that I've had since opening year. I don't know what was going on, but it was fantastic. Absolutely no shuffling, no vibration on the pull up and pull down from the tower. It was just phenomenal. I wish I could have a ride like that on every day. He got off and he's like, that's better than that ride there was better than Top Thrill Dragster. So
are they still setting it with the PLC so that if the drop tower is going up, okay, I can't launch.
It's basically an occupied block if the drop tower is on the track or on its course.
So it's got like a maximum capacity of like a couple hundred people an hour right now.
You know what? So I was there like, I don't know, 2 months ago or so, and they were getting one King of Ka train out for every Zoom Manjaro, and that just absolutely killed capacity. It was unbearable. Even with Flash Pass, I had the all-season Flash Pass. I paid up for that. But this week they were doing two King of Ka launches, sometimes three for every one Zoom Manjaro, and it doesn't hurt capacity because it's always just queuing up on the launch track, so they're always ready to go. It's very rare that with three trains running that the third train is ever waiting to dispatch because of the two trains out on the launch, you know, the launch pre-launch area.
Okay. Did they ever recall them having four trains? Did they just drop one of the trains?
Yeah, but that happened before Zoom Manjaro. They just found that it was just cheaper. The capacity wasn't enough for them to run four trains compared to the amount of labor that it costs them to run all four stations. So it was great to have all four stations when that ride was new and everything, but at some point they were like, this just doesn't make sense. So, I mean, it required six or seven more people to run that ride. So,
yeah, over the course of the season, that's real money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Well, for a ride that already costs a heck of a lot of money to maintain and run every year. So
yeah, to hit go on is a lot. Anyways.
Going back to that Great Adventure not making money conversation there.
Yes, exactly. So I'm assuming at that point.
Yeah, that was pretty much it. We wrapped it up. Yeah. We were trying to get on the wine train because they replaced a section of track, and they didn't apparently do a very good job of it, so it's creating an extra airtime moment, but it was down. So I'll get it this weekend. I think I might run over there for the morning on Saturday, so for a few hours. So then the craziness started. Originally we were gonna only do like six barks, but then at some point he was like, okay, let's do these other ones. Let's go all out. So park number two hold on, let me get everything up really quickly.
Did you start at Point Pleasant?
Yes, Point Pleasant at, what is it?
Jenkinson's.
Jenkinson's Amusement Park, which is a small little park, mostly kiddie rides, only a few thrill rides. The credits there are a Zaire, Flitzer, which are always super fun. I love those rides.
They're great rides.
Yeah, and they also have a Zamperla dragon, powered dragon called Tornado, which are also kind of fun, to be honest with you. So that was stop number one. It was fun. I listened to Hyde's podcast, and when he was on the podcast on In the Loop, sorry for the plug again, but and he suggested one thing that I'm so glad I heard him say: bring lots of quarters for all the meters, because a lot of these places don't take quarters or credit card or a mobile app or anything.
Yeah.
Oh my God, he saved us so much money, because we would have had to do like the all day parking places.
Oh. Yeah, the parking on the shore is pretty wild.
Oh, that is the biggest. Sometimes the parking takes longer than grabbing the credits.
Yeah,
no joke. So moving on from there, we went to one of our highlights of the day. Definitely was Casino Pier, which, in my opinion, Casino Pier years ago or a few years ago was not very great. You know, I mean, first of all, they'd lost half their park because unfortunately during Hurricane Sandy, half the pier fell into the ocean. And they were left with not very much left. And the new expansion this year has pretty much doubled the size of the park. They've added a huge 180-foot Ferris wheel. And the star of the pier now is definitely the Gerstbaler Hydrus with lap bars only. And it's just phenomenal. You're going over the vertical lift hill, and you come over the lip of it, and it's just ocean. That's all you see. It's just a fantastic view. Goes into a beyond vertical drop, I think like 97 degrees, and then a loop with absolutely phenomenal hang time at the top. Then you go into a overbank turn, and big tip here, when you go over that overbank turn, especially if you're in the left seat, just look to the left the entire time. All you'll see is ocean upside down, which is just freaky and crazy at the same time. Then it goes up into a turn and does a very slow 0G roll with the lap bars. Definitely freaky. And then turns the brakes. Unfortunately, it's very short, but what it does very well. So thumbs up for that. We got the 2-hour wristband. We only stayed an hour, but we ended up riding Hydrus 5 times. No one was there. Everyone was on the beach. We knew once the beach closed, that place was just going to be absolutely mobbed. I'm sure it was, because we saw that effect later in the trip at another park. So got the other 2 credits for him, the Hot Tamales, which is a L&S Systems junior coaster, which can be described as the most boring kiddie coaster ever built.
There's Wizard's Cavern.
I'm sorry?
Was it Wizard's Cavern? What is it called now? I can't remember.
No. The kiddie anyway. Coaster. Yeah. Hot Tamale. At least the Zamperla is just something to talk about, because they beat the crap out of you. With this, it was just smooth and slow.
No, but you guys are a Tideway, right?
I'm sorry?
The indoor coaster thing.
Yeah, Pirate's Hideaway. That's Wisdom. It was built by Wisdom. It was kind of a homage to their Wizard's Cavern, which was a Mack coaster. I believe the first roller coaster at Mack ever produced. Or Mock, I believe that's how they pronounce it. And yeah, it was a homage to it. And, you know, it starts out great with the spiral lift hill, great first 2 drops. Then you go inside, and it's just an empty building. It's just like, you go through there, and you're just like, there's so much potential here. Like, they could do anything. Just put some strobe lights in there or something. Like, anything would be better than what it is now. It's very unfortunate. So
let me ask you a question that I don't know if anybody's even bothered to ask it previously anywhere.
Okay.
You have your choice of riding Hydrus or the Star Jet. It used to be there.
Oh, dear God, that's a hard one. Because I really like that.
I love Star Jet.
And in a way, I've ridden it recently, because the one down at Wild Adventure, Viking Voyage, is just a mirror image of it. But the setting of, I mean, the part of the pier that collapsed was completely over the ocean. So when you're going up the lift hill, you look to the left and all you saw was water. It was insane. Man, I don't even know. I couldn't tell you.
But you know what though? That says something about Hydrus too, because Star Jet was a really good ride.
I think some people, I wrote it in its earlier years. I never rode it in its later years when it apparently got really rough. But I mean, I've ridden Viking Voyage recently, and it does have a couple of quirks to the the track that are pretty rough, but it's just a really aggressive ride. I think that's what the problem is. I don't think it's rough. I think it's just really aggressive.
Yeah, no, I agree. It does really cool stuff. It's got, you know, laterals and airtime.
Laterals and insane airtime. I don't know why anyone complains about that. Maybe the laterals is what people...
Yeah, that's probably what it is. Like, laterals on steel coasters are not, like, an expected thing, but they're kind of like the miler standard, you know, like...
If there are a lot of them, like, I'd probably actually complain about them because they do give me bruises after a few rides. So, anyways, moving on from there. We made a quick stop at Blackbeard's Cove, I want to say. Yeah, Blackbeard's Cave, not Cove. Which is a little amusement park, a little FEC with like different sections set up really weird. Has an arcade, go-karts, and a little amusement park section. It's really weird. None of them flow together, all like separated. No one was there, and it was Friday at like 4 o'clock. So I hope it gets business, but it's a cute little park, probably like no more than 2 acres, and it has a Wisdom Dragon wagon, which are always kind of fun. But from there, we went to what we thought would be the worst park of the trip, but didn't end up being that, because there's a winner later on for that nominee. Went to Casino Pier. Steel Pier in Atlantic City.
Really? Okay, that was exactly what I was expecting you to say was the worst pier.
No, it was not. Not by far.
Andrew obviously has done his New Jersey trip report with... Within the Loop, but he also did one for us, which will eventually get posted online. He had bad things to say about Steel Pier. A buddy of mine was actually there yesterday.
Oh.
And he
did he get both credits?
Horrible. He had been there before. He's from Philadelphia.
Okay.
And a friend of his was in the area and wanted to do parks, and so they stopped by, and he's like, "Alan, what happened?" And I was like,
I've never thought anything good about this park. I didn't want to go. Like, I told him.
What happened to it, man? I don't know what to tell you.
I have never thought great about that place. I've always hated it. The first time I went there, I got pickpocketed. That's the only time I've ever been pickpocketed. So, you know, I mean.
Honestly, getting pickpocketed is pretty bad. That's not the sign of a quality town.
No, I mean, Atlantic City is just, it's sad. It really is.
It is a sad place.
It's really sad, especially the northern part of the boardwalk, where pretty much every casino is now closed.
This park occupies.
Being from Philadelphia, I've heard about all the closures, but I hadn't been there in a few years. And, you know, my buddy was like, "Is that one closed?" I'm like, "I'm pretty sure." "Is that one closed?" "I'm pretty sure." "Is that one closed?" "I think that one's closed. I think that one's open." Then I look up. "Nope, sorry, closed 2 years ago." But you actually put in perspective being there and seeing all these casinos that are now closed. It just, but it makes perfect sense, because when all those casinos were being built, that was the only place in the East Coast that you could gamble. And now you can gamble everywhere. There's no need for a mecca like that on the East Coast. Whereas Las Vegas will always be that mecca. It doesn't matter that there's gambling all over the West Coast now. Everyone's always going to go to Las Vegas. So. No one's going to go to Atlantic City.
No. And tragically for Atlantic City, indeed, no one is going there.
So after walking through the shell of Atlantic City, we get to Steel Pier, and they're building a huge Ferris wheel. It looks to be 200 feet at least, or close to it. Because they were power washing the area right next to the kiddie coaster, so they had the fences moved back, because it's right next to the Ferris wheel, so he wasn't able to get that credit, which was a SPF Vista kiddie coaster. I didn't realize. They make kiddie coasters that are not spinning.
I didn't know. Realize.
Yeah, I didn't know either, and I'd ridden it.
You know what? I'm looking at it. I never rode that ride.
Yeah, they added it a few years ago. Time. Yeah.
I did. I think I skipped it. I rode Big Top Sideshow. The ship, okay. Which was a shift.
Yeah, those are always fun.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, I rode the Crazy Mouse with him, and it was actually running really well. I mean, those Rebichons, I believe, always have been better than the Zamperlos, with the exception of one, which we can talk about later in this trip report.
Outstanding.
Yeah, so yeah, it was a great time. We loved it. Then we got the hell out of that city because we were there for half an hour, and that was too long. We went through Margate and took a look at Lucy. If no one knows what Lucy is, it's the building shaped like an elephant. It's super cute. Always got to see Lucy. I've never been up it. That's on my bucket list at some point to actually go up to that little observation lookout that they have on top of Lucy. Are you familiar with Lucy?
I know of Lucy. I know that, okay. There's been a bunch of those. Like, there's one.
It was moved. It used to be originally in Wildwood. There might have been more, but I know that one particularly was in Wildwood. It started its life in Wildwood, and I think it's been moved twice since. So, anyways.
It's a great piece of Americana, you know, like.
Definitely. Yeah. Most definitely. So, anyways, continued south down to our, what are we on now? Number one, two, three, four, five, fifth park? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sixth Park. Yeah, Sixth Park. Crazy, right? We went to Ocean City, which has two parks. It has the Playlands Castaway Cove, which I gotta say, for the longest time, I loved Gillian's, and I thought Castaway Cove was kind of a dump. And in the last 5 years, that opinion is completely reversed.
What's the deal with Gillian's? Like, I've heard a couple people say really nasty things about Gillian's recently.
Nothing's bad about it. It's just the competition stepped it up so much. And its location is better, definitely. Castaway Cove's location is way better. It's in the center of the town, or the center of the boardwalk, whereas Gillian's is almost the northern point of the boardwalk. There's not much left beyond Gillian's. So, anyways, we first did Castaway Cove, as I said. He first grabbed the other kiddie coasters. They have two. Pirates Gold Rush, which I've ridden so many times with my nephew, so I was like, I'm not riding this. I'm not paying to ride this thing. I've ridden my nephew's like five times. Within the last month too. So, and then he rode the, you know, aforementioned FBS Vista spinning coaster that had been replicating like rabbits everywhere. Yes. By the way, we talked last week that there were 50 of them. When I checked on Sunday, they're now 52. One that was right near the Atlantic, the Atlanta airport, and it made, which opened last week. And my friend was like, oh man, could I fit that in on my way home? Because he flew into the Atlanta airport. He couldn't, but he's definitely going to hit it up.
What are the price of those? I need to find out what they're priced at.
I got to know. It's killing me. I want to know how much those things cost.
They must be so cheap.
Let's go on one together. We'll buy one.
Absolutely. I need to buy like five and just plug them in everywhere. Just rotate them around and make money.
Put them at the local supermarkets.
Yeah. They're going to be like coin operated horses.
You get an FBS Vista spinner. You get an FBS Vista spinner.
Everybody gets one.
Yeah, yeah. We rode my most anticipated coaster of the last 2 years, really, Gale Force. And while Hyde might not have the greatest opinion of it, I loved it. Yes, it's got vibrations in the valleys, but I don't find them painful. They're just kind of distracting. But beyond that, the ride is fantastic, I think. Great launches, great overbank diving turn things. I think it's fantastic, and I'm excited to ride it again when I get down there. Hopefully, they're hoping to open Wild Waves, the Miler full-size coaster, similar to what we were talking earlier, Casino Pier's Star Jet and Viking Voyage. But it wraps around Gale Force, and they're hoping to open it mid-August, so like next week. So if they do, I'll be there, and I'll give Gale Force another ride on when I'm there. So
All right. Fair enough.
It costs 14 tickets, but you can buy a pass for $10. That is just good for Gale Force.
Okay. Well, then go the Gale Force $10 route then, I think.
Yeah, because tickets are usually $1 a piece, or if you buy more, you get a discount. But yeah, or you can just buy the one price ticket. So
yeah. You guys stopped over at Gillian's, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we walked up to Gillian's, which, by the way, when you're not toting around two toddlers, doesn't seem that long of a walk. When you're toting around two toddlers, it seems like forever. Like I told him, oh yeah, it's like a 30-minute walk. It took us like 10 minutes. Yeah, it was just funny to see the different perspective of what I'm have been used to in the last 2 years. I've been on the runaway mine train or runaway, what do they call it?
The LNT systems mine train coaster thing there.
Yeah, it's called the runaway train. Got it right.
It's all right. It doesn't really.
Yeah, it was better than I remembered it. I'll just say that much.
Yeah.
It's got some whip to it and everything. And it was oddly the only coaster on their website that didn't have a height requirement. So I found out that my older nephew can ride it. So I'm going to ask his parents if we can take another side trip to it in the next 3 weeks so he can ride that, because that'll be his first full-size coaster. So anyways, that was fun. I really enjoyed it. And yeah, I'd be really excited to ride it again with my nephew. Then he rode his Wacky Worm credit. I watched. I was like, I don't need to ride another Wacky Worm.
Yeah, no.
Go for it, buddy. Actually, I kind of forced him on it. He's like, I don't need to really ride this. I'm like, you should go ride it. He's like, I want to ride the Lock. I'm like, no, that will take way longer. Go ride the Wacky Worm. Because we were on a time crunch. I don't think it would have taken much longer. I just wanted to see him ride the Kitty Coaster. So that was our seventh park. And then we went to, however you count it, you call it our eighth park, or you could call it our eighth, ninth, and tenth park. We went to Morris Piers. We got there around 8:30, so we had 3.5 hours, and it was busy. Oh, man, it was busy. But it wasn't too bad, to be honest with you. We started at the most northern pier, which I guess they call it Surfside Pier now. Formerly known as just Maury's Pier. It has the newly retracted SLC by Vekoma with the restraints that have the lap bar and the vest. And I think it's pretty damn good. It still has the back and forth shuffling on some of the, like let's say exiting the first inversion. It still has a little bit of that shuffling. But, I mean, it's the SLC I most would most want to ride, that's for sure. I ended up riding it 4 times. So, I mean, I guess that's saying something in itself, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, hopefully it's working out for them. I mean, that couldn't have been a cheap investment to replace all that track. So, I hope they're getting their monies out of it. So, he only rode it twice. Well, the Flitzer had a super long line, so I was like, you go ride that. I'm going to ride the Great Northeastern twice. But he reported that it was just as great as the one we had ridden earlier in the day.
Several parks prior.
And then we rode the Dewhopper, which is the Zamperla
zigzag.
Not so great wild mouse. But it was way better than the Zamperla Wild Mouse that I'll talk about in a little bit. those things have ridiculously small cars. For what reason, I have no idea. Like, they don't fit adults very well. Like, they fit adults almost as terribly as their family coasters, though, their little kiddie coasters. I don't understand why they made them so small. Do you have any idea why they would have done that?
The only thing I can think of in regards to that specific ride is the Dewhopper had, well, there was the fatality on the Dewhopper.
No, that was the wild one. That was at Gillian's, which then moved to.
That's right. But that was the same type of ride, though, wasn't it? Weren't they both Zamperla?
Yeah, both Zamperla, as they call them.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, the only thing I think is that maybe there was some sort of alteration that was made afterwards to, like, make the body smaller. That's all I've got.
I don't think so. No. I mean, I rode the one at, I think actually Maury's has added extra padding. Because going around the turns, it didn't feel as painful as the one at Wild Waves out in Washington.
Okay.
But since they all have different molded bodies, like the one in Wild or the one in Wild Waves has like mine train themed cars. The one at Wildwood has
like 50s themed cars,
57 Chevy type themed cars, and they're just more roomy. They actually made us. We like they were calling for two people. And we're like, okay, let's go. And then we get up there and like, oh no, you guys don't want to ride in the back seat. You guys won't fit as well. So we awkwardly waited on the station platform to allow everyone who we had passed go in front of us to get back to where we actually were standing, which was really awkward. Yeah, but yeah, apparently the front seat of those has more room. So anyways, yeah. Oh, we rode it, by the way.
Oh, okay. So it is open then.
It? What is it? We wrote it.
It is...
it was good.
I pulled up the serial number on which AMG Afterburner it was at one point. It's like a theme park review post. I think it's 142.
Yeah, and it has lap bars only.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is insane. Oh, nuts. Man. It was so good. Just freaky.
Did you ride Kong and get yourself kicked off of it?
No. Time, we kind of had to pick and choose. You know, okay. It was busy, and we only had, you know, 3.5 hours to do all three piers. So,
okay.
By the way, this visit was all courtesy of Maury's. They gave ACE members a free ticket.
Oh, wow. That's excellent.
Yeah. So that was amazing.
Big ups to Maury's.
Yeah. I think they're trying to get a golden ticket back. I mean, it's an expensive ticket. I mean, it's like $60 for an all-day pass. You know, and they're trying to get it back from Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk. And I'll say right out front, I'd have a hard time paying for this again. Or, you know, whereas I'm okay with the 30 some dollars that the Santa Cruz Beach Boardwalk charges. So, I mean, if you want to look at it as a value proposition, I you know, definitely there's more to do at Maury's, but I don't know. It's hard. They're both really good seaside parks. So anyways, after it, we also rode the Zoom Flume, which is amazing, by the way. The fireworks were going off while we were on the Zoom Flume.
A great log flume. So good.
Yeah. I've completely forgotten or added it since then. They're dark ride scenes underneath the boardwalk.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, they're fantastic. It's so good.
Was that there 13 years ago?
I don't think that they were there 13 years ago. I think it's been like an incremental change.
Okay, well, that was phenomenal. I had no idea about that. That was awesome. So, I mean, they weren't anything great, but I wasn't expecting them, so it made them better, I guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, it's got a combination of like, you don't expect the dark ride scenes under the boardwalk, playing under the boardwalk.
No. Like
you also don't, I think, you know, just staring at it initially, you don't recognize how long of a ride it is.
No, you don't. Because it's all really hidden between ride. The water slides and within Great Nor'Eastern. You don't realize how far back it goes and all that.
There's a lot of elevated section to that ride with the back and forth stuff way above the midway area and you know, going in between the water slides. I want to say, I remember, you know, hearing what the actual track length of that ride was, and it was over a quarter mile, which for a log flume is really long.
Wow, that's probably nearly as long as Great Adventures.
Yeah, it's right up there. Like those two, which are astonishingly long log flumes. I want to say Great Adventures was the longest of Arrows.
Okay.
You know, it's got to be in the 5-minute range. I want to say from the time you leave station to the time you get back.
Yeah. Okay. Like, yeah.
Thing.
And they have great capacity. They have a continuously moving conveyor belt. So, you know, I here's my opinion on anything that has a moving conveyor belt is it gets people to have like a sense of urgency. Like, we got to get on this, or if we don't get on it fast enough, we're going to be standing up and they're going to move it. They're going to dispatch it. Like, whereas if it's a stopping log flume, everyone's like, oh, I got to make sure I don't fall getting into it. Got to be super careful. So,
yeah. I agree. That's a good point about sort of the psychology of it.
Like some of these coasters, like if they do like a continuously moving one, like with like the Wonder Woman at Fiesta Texas, which some people are forming the opinion that it might.
Yeah.
That would help the capacity, in my opinion, because it's just, it really does.
Like, because
especially for like little kids, because they're all freaked out. So they're rushing to get in there, and it's not a bad thing. So, Anyways, then we moved on to Mariner's Pier. First thing we did was the first dark ride, the Pirates of Wildwood, which is a boat ride which has 3D effects and everything, which was extremely trippy, if anything. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's an interesting ride.
Yeah, that was built since the last time I'd been there, and that was phenomenal. I knew about Ghost Ship. I knew to love that thing, and I'll talk about it in a minute because I did. But, yeah, that was icing on the cake, definitely. And we did, what did we do next? We did Rolly's Coaster, which is the Pinfari Zyklon-type ride with overhead restraints. And honestly, it wasn't that bad.
That's my recollection of it also. It's
they're not really necessary. I think the main reason they have them is just to keep people's arms more restricted so they don't hit their arms on, you know, questionable clearances. I think that's the main reason for them. Wouldn't you agree?
It's either that or they're looking at it from a liability standpoint of people from standing up.
But honestly, my head never touched a restraint, so
yeah,
there was nothing painful about it.
Yeah, it doesn't have any really severe laterals. I mean, those rides typically don't. My recollection is like the one that was at Fun Spot in Indiana, which also had over the shoulders, was bad.
But those were like retrofitted in ghetto style.
Yeah, right? and not only that, but the whole ride was like not necessarily the best taken care of.
Yeah, which unfortunately the amusement park in Santa Claus, or the Santa Claus, whatever, in the suburb of Chicago, found out after a year, I believe, right?
Yeah, because they bought it.
Restored it, and then I don't know what the major problem was. When I was there all the hydraulics and all the electronics were all ripped to pieces.
When the rides were closed down at Fun Spot, I'm sure probably someone has told you this at some point in the last couple of years. It's not like they winterized any of it.
Oh, no. No one told me, but I assumed it.
Yeah. And actually, you know, I live here in East Lansing, Michigan, so anytime I head south towards Kentucky Kingdom or Indianapolis or even like when I go towards like St. Louis and things like that, I take I-96, which takes me right by Fun Spot.
Huh.
So I usually make my annual stop in, take a look at it every year. And I remember at one point, this could be like 4 or 5 years ago, around the time that they started taking down the Zyklon to go send it over to Santa's Village in Chicago, like there were just pieces of rides that were just laying in the old Midway.
Mm.
And they were like kind of like, I couldn't tell what they were even from. Like just like pieces of motors and stuff. So I don't know how good the security was there in terms of preventing people from going in and scrapping on their own.
Yeah.
Probably.
I mean,
honestly, like the fence had clearly been bent down in areas where people had climbed through it. And it would have been really easy for me to have done the same from the parking lot of the Italian restaurant that like, the Afterburner coaster loomed over. So I'm sure probably people had done that and that did no benefits whatsoever to the people that bought the rides from Fun Spot.
Outer World seemed like they had a basket case for them.
Yeah, they had a lot of fun with that Calypso that they just restored. But you know what the funny part is that, you know, Amusement Park went and bought the Zyklon. The Zyklon was a disaster. And ended up having to buy a brand new Zyklon to replace the old Zyklon that was garbage. But they still bought another ride from them, which is the Troika. And then they restored that, but that seems to actually be operating properly.
Those things seem like, which is kind of rare from Hoost, it seems like, that ride seemed to be
built really well.
Yeah, super bulletproof. There's, and for anyone that would care, if you do go to Fun Spot now, as of this year, what's left is a paratrooper and like a go-kart track and some upside-down go-karts. There's not much to see there. I wouldn't
believe. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, I believe Frontier City bought the Aero shuttle so they could continue to operate theirs.
Yeah, they're parting it out.
Yep. Yeah. By the way, I was looking at the dates really quickly. I did not realize Gillian's 1 year land pier opened in 1929. I had no idea it was that old.
Yeah, that seems like astonishingly old.
And Playland's Castaway Cove, 1959. Had no idea. I knew that Steel Pier was here old. It opened in 1898, but I had no idea those two were that old.
Wow.
Yeah, crazy. Maury's is much newer. That was the 60s, I believe.
Yeah. It all started, you know, instead of like it started with a mouse, it was just a giant slide.
Yep, which is now unfortunately gone.
Yeah. RIP of the giant slide also.
1969, Maury's first open. Anyways, moving on. So the roller, it was great. And by the way, there's that same model was just bought by a park down in Florida. Sam's Fun City bought one from that was previously operated in two locations in England. And I'm hoping it will be opened by the time I go down there in September. So they previously had a minor mic. That's all they had previously.
I have not been on this Zyklon, so this is exciting to me that there's a new Zyklon.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I think it does have the overhead restraints, but I mean, if it rides as smooth as the one, by the way, do you know that one, Maury's Pier, that was the last Zyklon to ever be produced?
That was the last Pinafari?
Zyklon to be ever produced. Wow. By Pinafari. But wow, I believe RC 48 was the last or one of the last to be produced. History. I know that was the last Zyklon, though. I know that for a fact. So, anyways, then we moved on to the Sea Serpent, which was pretty dang smooth. They took a lot of good care of that ride. I know they've done a lot of track work on it over the years, and it shows. It's very smooth. It doesn't even have the ruts in the valleys that most of those boomerangs now have. So, but, you know, it's still your Vekoma boomerang.
Yeah, it's good for what it is.
Yeah.
If it's the first time you've ever encountered one, you're going to love it, probably.
Sure. I never really have problems with them. It's just I don't really care about them that much, if that makes sense.
Yeah. If you've been on 37 or 40 of one.
I've been on every one in the United States, so yeah. There you go.
Yeah, it's exactly.
It's really neat, though. In the queue line, they have like little like portholes that look into the machinery rooms. And the electronic room. Like, that's so cool. Like, I know it's just a boomerang. It's like, you know, like, usually that stuff is exposed in everything at other parks because it's just, you know, out in the open. But it's, I don't know, it's kind of neat that they did that for, like, little kids to look in there and coaster nerds. Little kids and coaster nerds. There you go.
Yeah. The kind of people that would be drawn to look at lift motors and things of that nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Then we did the Ghost Ship, which is a walkthrough haunt type of attraction, which is absolutely phenomenal. Oh my God. I'd heard about this when it opened, and wow. If I had known it was this good, I probably would have gone down the Wildwood years ago.
It's really good.
It's really good. And it's really long, too. I mean, it's one of the longer ones, one of the longer haunts that I've been through. I mean, granted, I haven't been to Halloween Horror Nights. I'm checking that off my bucket list this year finally, but yeah, I mean, it's phenomenal. Good scares, good scenes, multi-leveled, just phenomenal. Loved it. Then after that we had about 30 to 40 minutes to about 30 minutes actually, unfortunately only 30 minutes to go and ride the Great White, the CCI built in 1996, I want to say.
Sounds right.
Let's see. Yes, 1996. Designed by Dennis McNulty. And phenomenal ride. Way better than I remember it being, to be honest with you. That's had one slight modification to it. The last drop doesn't dip down as far as it used to, but I believe that was just because of flooding and all that stuff, so they didn't want to have to worry about that. But that's the only change they've made to the layout. And You know, I just love those dipping, swooping turnarounds that CCI did. I love them. I think they're so exciting. And great overbanks are great and all, but I think that is a great modern turn on a turnaround. You know what I mean? Instead of just having a flat turnaround, having that dip in the middle of it.
Yeah.
So, and it's just an absolute beautiful ride out on the sand. The only unfortunate thing about that pier, they call it the Adventure Pier now, because it's mainly the pay rides, the rides that you have to pay extra for at amusement parks. That's where they're all located. So you got your Skyscraper, your Sky Coaster, your Slingshot, your SNS Swing, and a Haunted House, and then Great White and go-karts. So that's it for that pier. But unfortunately, since I last been there, they got rid of the Sky Ride.
Yeah. They still have some of the towers up, and they have like some of the chairs as like benches.
Yeah, all the towers are gone. The loading station's still there. You can see the footers are still there. They just cut the steel away. So like the nub of the steel towers are still there. Yeah, but yeah, it was a phenomenal ride. Unfortunately, I only got three rides. I would have loved a lot more. So, yeah. So the campground that I go down to hang out with my buddy, it's down near Ocean City. I think I'm going to head down there because I need to do one credit. And I think also I'm going to just head to Maury's and just take photographs, because I'd rather photograph that separately than when I have that super expensive wristband on my wrist. I'd rather just do it when I'm not, wanting to ride.
Yeah, there's not the feeling like you spent a ton of money and thus
right
get your money out of it.
And since I'm, the campground's like 30 minutes, 40 minutes away, why not? So I think I'm going to go down there during the day and then go down there one night during the night and get some amazing night photos, because definitely I think I'll bring a tripod, get some long exposures, all that stuff. So because any pier to do that on, Maury's is definitely the one.
Yeah.
So that ended Friday night, which was absolutely insane. I mean, 8 parks, 10 if you count Maury's as 3. Just that's a record for me, and it will never be broken. So there you go. Next morning, we head up to Rye Playland and for the Ace event, which only really had it just had our ERT. There was no lunch, no anything like that. It had our ERT in the morning on Dragon. And on the kiddie coaster, which usually is not allowed for adults in any way, shape, or form. They actually had to get special permission from the state to allow us to ride.
So now that you have joined myself.
Well, I joined it years ago.
Oh, you did? Actually. Okay. Oh, that's right. We did at the same time, 2001.
Preservation Conference.
Yeah.
That was probably the last time it was allowed.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been 16 years.
But here's the difference. There was a lot of people attending that event. There was only probably 30 to 40 people here, so I was able to ride it 4 times.
Did you ride it 4 times because you could ride it 4 times?
It's decent. It's fun. I probably wouldn't if it wasn't so elusive. But, I also was trying to get it lined up so I got a front seat ride, and after the fourth ride, I got my front seat ride, and I was okay.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Plus, I guess, the alternative is riding Dragon Coaster, which...
I did super smart thing of we went to Dragon first because... And then he got all antsy because he was like, I want to get the credit. So I was like, oh, you go get the credit. So I sat on Dragon Coaster 3 more times. And by the time I got back, he was just getting on the kiddie coaster. And as soon as I walked up, there was like 2 trains in front of me. So, yeah. Yeah, Dragon Coaster is a fun ride. I mean, it's Prior and Church from back in the day. It doesn't do anything exciting, although it did warm up later in the day. And when it started, like their first ride, which was like empty train practically, no airtime, but by the end of the day, it was giving nice little pops. And, it's a fun ride. It's a great ride for the family, and it'll never go anywhere. So, yeah, extremely long too, man. How long is that thing?
It's got a crazy layout. It's got like that Y-shaped out and back thing where
it's like a double out and back with a bend in the middle of it.
Yeah. It's a fun ride. I love the tunnel. Everybody loves the tunnel.
Everyone loves the tunnel. Apparently it's tradition to scream in it.
Yes.
Okay.
What else did you guys get on at Rye? Did you basically hit everything up at Rye? I mean, Rye has a lot of good stuff.
So, Rye, the thing about Rye is, since I heard about this, reading the Yelp reviews, actually, how, like, just very disinterested employees. And yeah, that sums it up pretty well. And they had shortages. So we wanted to get out of there by, so ERT started at 11, park opened at 12. We kind of wanted to be out of there by 1. Mm-hmm. We weren't able to get out of there until 3 because he wanted to get all the credits, which I understand. Superflight was the last one to open, which made it even harder to want to stay, by the way. I was like, God, we're waiting around for a flying coaster.
Was it like Wild Mouse, Funny Flyer?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, yeah, the mouse was by far the worst. Oh, God. That was definitely the worst coaster of the trip, man. That thing, the cars are so tiny, even tinier compared to the Doo-Wopper. And yeah. Doo-Wopper uses some brakes around the course, which I've never been so happy about trim brakes in my entire life. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Like, you just go around some of those curves and it's just like, no, it's like total disregard for the passengers' bodies. There's no padding. It's just hard fiberglass on the sides. Yeah. Burn it down.
Unfortunately, the metal resists, fire, best I know. So
cut it down.
And then we've got Funny Flyer.
Funny Flyer. You mean Superflight?
No. Didn't you guys get on the kiddie coaster?
Oh, the Family Flyer. Yeah.
The Funny Flyer at one point.
I don't think so, but okay.
I need to look this up. Family Flyer. Obviously, I made this up in my mind, so ignore me. You know what? Actually, a quick side note, too. So we were both at that event in 2001. My recollection is it opened like that day, that Friday that we were at Rye.
Oh, no, I didn't get on it. You might have stayed longer and got on it, but yeah. I didn't ride it until a few years later.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it may have been open on Saturday then. It was like touch and go that it would ever open with it. And
apparently, I remember the park telling us, yeah, they sent it to us in a box without a lot of instruction.
There's so many good stories about Rye Playland, like getting these rides around that time frame and then like putting them up or trying to put them up and having like some sort of disaster. Like when they got the wind shear coaster and just touched the whole thing. And then they were like, ooh.
G-force is too high.
They're like, oh, so what happens when it goes through the inversion? Oh, there's like a lateral G bang of like 4.
Yeah. Ooh.
They're like, oh.
Well, they work. It's okay for the Philippines and third world countries.
It works in different markets, you see.
Yeah.
So anyways, then you got on Superflight, which is, you know what? I just rode this in May, and first time I'd been to Rye in a long time. I let my wife sit in the middle, and I took the outside of it, and her opinion was that it was not nearly that terrible, and I had a different opinion of it.
Okay.
What did you think of Zamperla Volare?
That one's not great.
Yeah, I think that's probably an understatement, in my opinion, my estimation.
I wouldn't have ridden it unless he had, you know, I might have ridden it once. I usually am dumb like that. All right. No, I mean, I'll give something another try if it's been many years, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
See, oh, it's gotten any worse? Has it gotten any better? Or, you know, stayed the course. It's pretty much stayed the course or gotten a little bit worse.
It was never good. So
another highlight of the day definitely was the Playland Plunge, which is like a mini shoot-to-shoots.
Mm-hmm.
And we look at the thing and we're like, oh, yeah, it's got these small boats. Yeah, it's not going to get us all that wet. They're smaller boats. Splash must be smaller, right? No. The splash was freaking huge, and it just went right back onto us. We got drenched, like, top to bottom. It was ridiculous. Absolutely beautiful placement in the park. Terrible placement at the same time because it's like back in the way back of the park. Unless you really know it's there, you don't know it's there. I mean,
yeah,
it's beautiful to turn around.
Too, isn't it? It's over by like the picnic area, I think.
It's behind the picnic area, even further. But a beautiful turnaround, and the turnaround is practically on top of the, you know, the Long Island Sound. So just beautiful view of the Long Island Sound and Long Island and all that. So
lovely. Did you do Derby Racer?
Oh yes, that was another ride that took its sweet ass time to open up. But yeah, we did that twice and loved it. And you know, I'd heard that the mechanism, racing mechanisms, were broken and would never be fixed. They were working.
Yeah, they fixed it for this year.
Oh, this year? Oh, this sweet. Year.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was so happy to see them. And it runs so much faster than Cedar Points.
Yeah, it's way faster. Like, astonishingly.
Phenomenal. Like, they instruct you how to ride this thing. Like, they tell you your foot plateness. They tell you you must lean into the turns once it gets up to speed. And, yeah, it's phenomenal. Another phenomenal thing is the Ye Olde Mill, which has, was renovated like 15 years ago. And I'd heard bad reports about this recently, but I found it phenomenal.
Sally's done a really solid job, I think.
I thought it was fun. It was cute.
All right. So Rye Playland.
And then the two other dark rides, Double's Den, which was not so great. And then the Witches.
The Zombie Castle.
Or Zombie Castle, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, we didn't care too much for that one. But the other one, was it called Witches something?
Flying Witch.
Flying Witch, there you go. That one was phenomenal. We loved that one. That was great. But, yeah, that was Rye. It was a great day. We left around 2:30. And then we're going to have to finish this tomorrow. If you don't mind. I got to go.